Dear beloved of God in Jesus Christ, our Savior from sin. Last weekend we studied a message from Isaiah chapter 40 about waiting upon the Lord. We saw that God tells us that waiting by Him comes through faith and trusting in Jesus, and that leads us in our lives to submit ourselves to God's plan and God's timeline. Today our lesson from God's Word is very similar, especially since it comes just two chapters before in the book of Isaiah. But the situation it describes here this morning is vastly different than what we covered last weekend. It's about the life of King Hezekiah. Most of what you'll find about King Hezekiah in the Bible is in the books of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Hezekiah was a king over the two southern tribes of God's people, Benjamin and Judah. He was a godly king. We're told that there were no other kings like Hezekiah before or after him. But Hezekiah, despite his faithfulness, also had his weaknesses. And Hezekiah was tested before the Lord. Even though we're not kings today and our generation is far distant from Hezekiah's, we see the same to be true in our lives, that we have our weaknesses and the Lord tests us. Therefore, we have much to learn from our lesson today as we consider the thought, it's about time, a cry for deliverance and a lesson for life. We read our portion of God's Word from Isaiah 38, the thoughts of King Hezekiah. A poem by Hezekiah, king of Judah, after he had been sick and had recovered from his illness. I said, in the prime of my life, I must go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the rest of my years. I said, I will never see the Lord in the land of the living. I will not look on humanity any longer with the inhabitants of what is passing away. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. I have rolled up my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom. You make an end of me from day until night. I thought until the morning. He will break all my bones like a lion. You make an end of me day and night. I chirp like a swallow or a crane. I moan like a dove. My eyes grow weak looking upward. Lord, I am oppressed. Support me. What can I say? He has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I walk along slowly all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. Lord, because of these promises, people live, and in all of them is the life of my spirit as well. You have restored me to health and let me live. Indeed, it was for my own welfare that I had such great bitterness. But your love has delivered me from the pit of destruction. For you have thrown all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, only the living can thank you, as I do today. A father will make your faithfulness known to children. The Lord will save me. We will play stringed instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord. Hezekiah had a tumultuous life, to say the least. Whenever I feel like the Lord's not being fair to me, it's a good reminder for me to read about people like Hezekiah in the Bible to see what he had to go through. As king of Judah, Hezekiah was responsible for protecting his people from the destruction and upheaval at the hands of foreign nations. And at the time of Hezekiah, God's people were under a great threat. About 15 years earlier, the kingdom of Assyria, the power in the world at that time, had come and swept the 10 northern tribes of Israel away, never to be seen from again, never to be restored to their heights of glory and power. And now they came down and threatened Hezekiah's kingdom of Judah. The Assyrians surrounded the city with an army of 185,000 soldiers, and they besieged it, trying to starve the people out. With no other options left, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for deliverance. And in one night, the Lord sent an angel and destroyed the entire army of the Assyrians. One might expect relief or joy after this amazing victory, after this miracle from the Lord. At the least, we could expect a sense of peace for a certain amount of time. But in the very next verse of the Bible, right after God says he destroyed the Assyrian army, in the very next verse, he sends his prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah and tells him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die." We're not told why the Lord brought this message. We're not told what Hezekiah was suffering from in his body. We're simply told that it was his time. The Lord said, "Get your house in order. You're going to die." Once again, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for deliverance, and once again, the Lord delivered him. The Lord told Hezekiah that he would live for another 15 years. What we have before us today in Isaiah's book are the thoughts that were in Hezekiah's heart as he received this response from the Lord. This is somebody who had just received a promise from God that he would die, but had then just been given 15 more years. In beautiful wording, Hezekiah paints a picture of the ups and downs of following God by faith. And in many portions of his response to the Lord here, as he spills out his heart's thoughts, we hear Hezekiah saying, "It's about time." This is the desperate cry of the believer who's under struggle and trial and persecution. "It's about time, God, that you act and deliver me." The thoughts surrounding Hezekiah's anguish are really summed up in something that King David wrote in Psalm 31. David summarized of his life with the Lord, "My times are in your hand." When Isaiah pronounced that Hezekiah was going to die, Hezekiah had to come to grips with the reality that he was not in control of his life. That the same thing that David confessed, "Whether I live or die, my times are in your hand." The same thing applies to our lives as well. The Apostle Paul would conclude in a similar way in his letter to the Romans, saying, "Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." This is an important realization to come to as a believer. So often it's easy to think that we're in control of our lives, or if we do follow God, that God is somehow absent in my life when I need him. Or maybe he's late in delivering his promises, like we studied last weekend, waiting upon the Lord to fulfill his word. The cry of desperation when we see the agony of the world and the anguish that we're confronted with, the cry to the Lord so often is, "It's about time, God. It's about time that you acted for me, as you have said that you will." The thing is, while the Lord constructed time in his infinite power and creative ability, it's not something he's bound by. God is eternal. God is not relegated by time. Therefore, God can never be late. Tardiness or lateness can only apply to somebody who exists in time, and God's eternal, which means that God is never late, but God always is. Whatever you're going through, whether you feel like the Lord has given you what you wanted or you're waiting on his word, he's there. He's present. My times are in his hand. The cry of desperation comes forth because it's difficult to go through this as a believer. In many ways, it's actually harder on a believer than it would be an unbeliever, because we're trusting on the Lord to act. We know who he is and what he promises. The more and more we learn about his word, the more we see his grace and his promise and all the things he wants to bless us with. And that's where the difficulty comes in, of having to wait on him. Hezekiah reflected upon this event after he had received deliverance from the Lord. He already knew he was going to live for 15 more years. He already knew that death was no longer immediately on his doorstep. And yet the majority of the verses that he describes talk about the bitterness and the anguish of having to go through this. Hezekiah describes his life as so fragile, like a thread in the weaver's loom, quickly torn. Like a fleeting shepherd's tent that is pitched in one spot in one night and quickly uprooted the next day. Hezekiah calls himself a chattering bird that is crying out in helplessness for deliverance. The struggle is so real that Hezekiah even depicts his life with the Lord like being in a battle against a lion. But Hezekiah remembered these things, and he recorded these beautiful descriptions, not just to portray his struggle, but to remember. Hezekiah, moving forward these 15 years, wanted to remember this moment. He wanted to remember what it felt like to have death at his doorstep. He wanted to remember what it felt like to have no control anymore. Because whether we live or die, we're always in that point. Consider what Hezekiah wrote in verse 17. It was for my own welfare that I had such great bitterness, but your love has delivered me. He's verse 15, he said, I will walk along slowly all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. Hezekiah was going to take that pain, that sorrow and anguish that he felt, and he was going to use it moving forward to remember what the Lord had said. Surely it's an agonizing thing to go through in present time, but when we can look back, we can see the Lord's hand in our lives. What God wants us to do today by faith is not to have to wait till we look back to see that, but to trust Him right now with that. For the believer, the bitterness of this life is a reminder of God's goodness, of His grace. And this aspect of our faith, this miracle of our faith, turns our desperate plea of, it's about time, God, to a gentle reminder that it's about time. That's where the Lord led Hezekiah to appreciate the time he had been given, not to complain about God's plan. Whether it was his last day on earth or whether he had 15 more years left, God wanted Hezekiah to appreciate time with him. As we might expect of anyone faced with a near-death situation, Hezekiah came forth from this with a newfound appreciation for his life. The Lord gave him a literal sign that's not recorded in our text to indicate this. He actually took the sundial at Hezekiah's kingdom and turned it back 10 degrees as a sign that he had turned back the promise of death. The fact that life is about time means more to us than just time to do more of what I want, or time to travel and to cross items off my bucket list, or time for family and friends. To have time and appreciate that is to embrace time with God. We call that our time of grace, the precious gift that God gives each and every one of us, the days of our lives, to spend time with Him in His Word. Hezekiah concluded by describing his time of grace in our last verse. He said, the Lord will save me. We will play stringed instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord. Hezekiah said, I'm going to go back to the house of the Lord and I'm going to rejoice in Him. Not just to praise Him for deliverance and salvation, but to spend time with Him. Hezekiah once again was reminded of what a wonderful gift that was. Sometimes we Christians forget that. Sometimes we don't appreciate our opportunities to be with the Lord. Sometimes we come before Him for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we don't use the most of every amount of time we have with Him. And so, like Hezekiah, sometimes God gives us a gentle nudge. Sometimes God gives us a reminder of how precious a gift that is, so we don't take it for granted. We can look back in history and see other examples from Christians. The early Christians, the ones who formed the first church, were threatened in ways that we can't even imagine. They were threatened by the government at the loss of their life. They were threatened by false teachers who wanted to rip apart the very nature of God. They were in a dangerous situation. Through these things, the Lord taught them to appreciate the time they were given, to make the most of the time that they were given. He told them the same lesson that he told Hezekiah. It's about time of grace with him. And so the early Christians defended the Word of God. They stood firm in their faithful confession. They developed statements like the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed that we benefit from today. They spread the message of Christ to the globe so that our ancestors would come and know Jesus as their Savior. The entire time, the Lord was in control. The Lord was watching over. We know well, as Lutherans, many of the reformers from the 13th, 14th, and 1500s who staked their reputation and lives upon the Word of God. They lived by that same truth that it's about time with our Lord. And they made the most of that in their lives. Today, because they defended the Word of God and they stood firm in faith of their Savior Jesus, we benefit from that in our doctrine and in our church. Because they were willing to make sacrifices out of their faith for God, we live with those blessings today. Faithful Christians of each generation are called time and time again by the Lord to remember how blessed it is to have time with Him, to appreciate and to build upon our time of grace in our Savior Jesus Christ. Each generation is confronted with their own obstacles and challenges to that. The question is, how does each generation respond? We are living with the blessing and benefit of being able to stand on a foundation of Christians who came before us and stayed faithful in God's Word and appreciated their time with Him. Will we leave that to the following generations? Stacked against such odds, many would have thought long ago that the Church of God would crumble into the pages of history. Much like the city of Jerusalem surrounded by an angry horde of Assyrian soldiers, people feel today that the Christian church is a lost endeavor, that it's hopeless, that God left long ago. And yet we continue to trust that my times are in His hand, that my life today is about spending time with Him and appreciating that time and using it to build my faith. And so, like faithful Christians in the past, we hold the line today. Like Hezekiah stated, Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, only the living, can thank you as I do today. What will we leave to our next generation and Christians after us? Exactly what Hezekiah did. The message of life with God. Because life with God is time with God. Death cannot praise Him. The pit cannot honor Him. Sheol cannot give Him glory. It is the living who praise and follow God. And by His grace, through our Savior Jesus, we can be privileged to call ourselves the living of God. We are blessed to be in that category of not held down by our sins and transgressions anymore, not down by the message of the law in the pit of destruction, but living before God by faith with the promise of living before Him in heaven. 700 some years after Hezekiah, his Savior would say a similar thing. He would tell his disciples, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. We rejoice in our time with God in His grace because it's the very blessing that we strive to protect that leads us to heaven. We hold the line of His truth not to show ourselves better or more important or high than anyone else, but because He is the God of the living. And that's worth fighting for. God is the God of living men and women who praise Him with their words and their actions. God is the God of the living with those who continue to confess His truth day after day, knowing that it's the message of life. The blessing of a living Savior is worth cherishing and remembering because it's the blessing of our life with God. And as Hezekiah said, it's worth passing down to the next generation. By faith in Jesus, we are blessed to be able to say, it's about time. Time with Him. Time in His Word. Time that leads us to eternity in heaven. Thanks be to God, our Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who delivers this message to us through the Holy Spirit in His Word. Amen. Please rise.